Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 61, Episode 1 of Dare Daily Zeitgeist, the podcast where we take a deep dive into America, nay, the world's shared consciousness using the headlines, box office reports, TV ratings, what's trending on gigs and social media. It's Monday, December 10th, 2018. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. I'm Jack O'Brien. I'm not gonna give up. I'm not gonna stop. I'm gonna work harder. I'm Jack O'Brien. I'm gonna make it. I will survive. Keep on O'Brien. Courtesy of Christy M. Lucci-Main. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Because we're the psychics. I'm just gonna do that part because, man, I could go all day on that Scatman Crothers little jam there. Thank you to at Nathan Hansen.
Scatman Crothers, is it?
Well, I mean, I think it's this. What was the guy? He called himself Scatman John. John was the artist. Sorry, I paid homage to Scatman Crothers.
Yes, as well you should.
Oh, also, shout out to Amy Stewart. I forgot to tell you. Yes, I know Jason Mayer. He's my good friend, so hold that out.
Okay. Just a conversation between you and exactly one of our listeners.
That's what the point of this show is, Jack. I told you.
Well,
find
we
my long-lost
are
sibling.
Thrilled to be joined by the wonderful and talented host of the Saver podcast and Stuff Mom Never Told You podcast on the How Stuff Works Network.
And iHeartMedia.
And iHeartMedia
podcast now. The
whatever.
New family.
Annie Reese. Hello.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. I'm still a little in awe of those musical intros you just did.
Well, they were impressive. So we do not blame you.
Do you have a musical AKA that you wanted to run by or no?
I wish I had thought to do one. There are a lot of songs with the name Annie. But I'm going to have to workshop this.
Okay.
I'm very sorry.
For the next one.
All right.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment, but first we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about today. Avengers 4 trailer dropped at the end of last week. We're going to talk about what we have learned. We're going to talk about Chipotle and their danged fair wages ruining the fast food industry. We'll talk about Ecuador trying to get Julian Assange the F out. A couple things going on in Trump world. The resignation of Big Chief John Kelly, and we're going to talk about Grammy nominees, Oscar hosting job being open again as we record this. Maybe it's been filled by the time you listen to it. That's a podcast, though. That's how this time thing works. But Annie, first, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Well, I'm actually a really paranoid person, so I delete my history pretty regularly, but... Okay.
So you got something to hide.
I like that.
Yes.
I wouldn't say that.
It sounds like it. Some dark secrets.
We all have to have a little dark secrets.
We do.
Or else what are you even doing?
Right.
But one thing that I do that did pop up on my phone is Friday the 13th, Jason Takes Manhattan plot explanation.
Plot explanation. Yeah.
Plot. Which I guess is giving that movie perhaps a lot of credit already off the bat that it has a plot. I haven't seen it. I didn't realize that Jason went to Manhattan.
Yeah.
Have you seen
let
it?
Let alone take it. So I've actually talked before on the show about how for my 8th birthday, I asked my dad to take me to that movie for my birthday. And he... eventually saw a Friday the 13th movie and said, hell no. So I've just seen that movie in compilations of like Jason's greatest kills. But from what I can tell, it's mostly Jason on a, what's it called?
Vacation?
A cruise ship.
Oh.
Yes. On his way to Manhattan.
Vacation, yeah.
You know, all those cruise ships that dock in Manhattan.
Yeah, I mean,
the
best
Manhattan
ones.
Cruise to Manhattan from Crystal Lake.
Wait, so
of course.
The plot is that he takes a cruise ship to Manhattan?
Yes.
And he's murdering a bunch of people on the boat?
Yeah. I mean, he's not like
he's
laying
not in Manhattan,
on
though.
The lounge, like
right.
ordering drinks. He just boards. He stows away on a cruise ship, murders people on the cruise ship, And then for the three scenes, they could get a Manhattan-adjacent set.
Right.
He goes and murders a couple street toughs style of Michael Jackson's Bad Video. That
Ooh,
sort of street
yeah,
tough.
Yeah, yeah. Think you're bad, you ain't nothing.
Right.
Well, okay. So, but there's no... And I'm guessing this is why you searched Danny, because it's like, what was his motivation for getting on a boat? I thought he was fine just doing his Jason Voorhees thing.
Well, he is a water-based... An underrated thing about Jason, he's a water-based monster, like the Loch Ness Monster. He tends to emerge from a lake.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
I'm not really familiar. Mm-hmm. You know, I was put off by the hockey mask, you know.
Really?
Yeah. I'm just, you know, I don't know what it is.
Because it's not up to date? You're like, get some more up to date.
No,
hockey
I just
mask,
never
Jason.
Really. I was just never. I was more of a Freddy Krueger guy when I had to pick between those Ooh. Two. I loved Freddy for some reason.
You like those sick burns?
Yeah,
Freddy
sick
had.
Burns, yeah, in his skin
Both
condition.
On his skin
yeah.
and in his dialogue.
Did you see Freddy versus Jason?
No, see, I didn't want to. I was afraid Freddy might die or something, and then I would be broken.
Oh my gosh. You're so delicate with your
I am.
Freddy.
Yeah, just me and Freddy, you know, shout out to him. I did buy the sweater, though. I do have a Freddy Krueger sweater.
Yeah. There's some good nice. Kills in the later Friday the 13th movies, like the one where Jason... boards a spaceship and
oh,
like
I
want to
see
people.
That so bad.
Yeah, Friday the 13th, Jason in space, actually has some of the coolest deaths. Like at one point, he dips a woman's head into that stuff that freezes everything and then
liquid
just like shatters her head.
Oh,
on a,
wow!
Yeah, it's pretty dope.
So, the plot of everything is Jason boards some kind of
yes,
transport.
Exactly.
I think the real question you need to be asking is, Jason, where are you trying to get to?
Right, exactly.
Because
right.
you keep. I think we can just make this a good experience for everybody if yeah. we just get you to where you want to go.
Yeah. I think, really, he's trying to run away from something. And when he gets oh. there, he might find that the thing he's trying to get away from was with him the whole time.
Cautionary tale.
Yes.
Wow, this is really deep.
Yeah.
I didn't realize they had this level to them.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. When you try and find that kind of depth, we can find it. Wait, are you a big slasher movie fan? Is that why you were searching?
Yeah. I'm a big horror movie fan in general, and... after a couple of us went to go see the new Halloween movie together, and it kind of came out that despite being a big horror movie fan, I have this spot of where I'm missing most Halloween movies and most Friday the 13th movies. I had never seen one at the time. I've since watched the first one. And when someone told me that Jason goes to space and Jason goes to Manhattan, I can't believe I missed these cultural standpoints.
Well, you've only met, if you've only seen the first Friday the 13th, you've only met Jason for a brief moment.
Yes.
Yeah. And you need to get to know him a little bit better in Friday the 13th,
Before we go to space.
Yes, before you go to space. That's the first thing you need to do is see him murder a couple dozen teenagers around Camp Crystal Lake. Was the new Halloween good?
It was really good. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot. I loved the soundtrack. And when I saw the original one, I really enjoyed that too. It was a really good showcase of building tension.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the original Halloween is probably better than any movie in the Friday the 13th franchise from like a pure, like that is a good movie standpoint. But Friday the 13th, I've always just loved because... just all the creative ways they find to murder people.
I'm sensing a trend here.
Yeah.
Like, man, as long as it's not straight stabbing, I'm in.
Well, sometimes that works too.
Yeah.
What is something you think is overrated, Annie?
It's funny because I'm somebody who comes up with a lot of lists when I'm trying to find the best answer for a question. Okay. And one of the things on my list that I struck was Chipotle, which we're going to talk about.
There you
okay.
go. Now
but
preach on
But the thing
it.
I settled on... that is going to make enemies for me right away.
Good.
Is dog ownership and having a dog. Yeah.
All right. Now, I can feel you on this, even though I have a dog. So explain to us why you think it's overrated.
Well, I'm a runner, so I'm somebody who's been bitten by many dogs while Ooh. Running, been yelled at by many pet owners for getting in their dog's way. And I just... don't like obligations to think things are cute. I kind of have the same thing with babies. Like, maybe I don't think your dog is cute. Maybe I'm not super excited to pet it.
Right.
There's this pressure, this like social pressure that there's a dog and it's so cute and you must love it. And I'm not somebody who likes obligations and social pressure.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I can feel that on like people who do, you can tell that they want you to love their dog. Like they kind of expect it. They want you to be interacting with it on a level that sometimes I find to be a little much.
Well, I think it's when people like treat the dog as an extension of themselves. Yes. So like they take offense. Yeah. Like, what do you mean you don't think, isn't this the right. cutest dog you've ever seen?
Right.
And you're like,
right.
objectively, no.
Right.
So what is the next stage of this conversation?
Yeah.
And I just, when I see people like picking up the poop, that to me seems awful. I don't want to be a part of that. I think at parties, the dogs make things awkward when they're like not well behaved.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is something that it's really been difficult for me to admit this even to myself, because people do love dogs. And I once was at an event in Atlanta called the Atlanta Bacon Festival. And it's kind of a big joke festival. And there's a confession, and the best confession wins a prize. And I really wanted to win the prize. And I was pretty drunk, and I started crying and told the guy, I don't like dogs.
Wow.
So did you go up there? Did you win?
I actually left early because I was so embarrassed at this confession. I don't think it's very acceptable not to like dogs.
No, it's not.
Maybe that's in my head.
No, we're all judging you over here.
Yeah.
I know. I can sense it. I can
clucking
sense
our tongues and shaking our heads. No, dogs are like the one thing you almost never see die in movies. And if they do die in a movie, the character is then allowed to go on a multiple movie series worth of murders.
Talking about John Wick over here.
John Wick. Like that's the that was the big plot development for that movie was like they actually killed the dog.
Right.
I never do that.
I have friends who can't handle seeing dogs get killed in films. Yeah. I remember when I Am Legend came out, I had the screener and everyone was like, yo, we're gonna watch I Am Legend early. Yeah. And then you know at the end he's gotta sing Is every little thing's gonna be all right? And he chokes that German Shepherd out, and my friend left.
Really?
He left. Oh, he said, I gotta go home.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, you understand it was going to become a zombie.
Right.
But anyway, I felt like this was justified. But, you know.
He should have let it become a zombie and let it eat him.
Yeah. He's a good owner.
Yeah.
Wait, and so when you jog, you're saying, does the thing happen where you run from behind a dog and then as you pass it, the dog nips at you? Or are you also just kind of pulling up to dogs and being like, I bet your dog can't bite me?
Use it as motivation.
You're asking if I'm instigating. Is that what I'm understanding?
Well, no, how do you incidentally get as a runner? Is it because like you catch dogs by surprise and that's what happens?
No, they generally chase after me if I'm passing the house that they live in.
Wow.
Yeah.
Or if somebody's walking a dog and you're coming the other direction, the dog will like dart out like so that you would be tripped by the leash. If that happens to me sometimes when I'm out running.
Oh, you're tripping on a dog's leash?
No, I don't trip on a leash, but like you have to like dart to the side to avoid it.
Right, because, right, right.
Yeah.
Right.
And a lot of dogs.
I got stuck in a dog parade once where my running. And all of a sudden, no joke, they were having this parade of dogs. It was over 100 dogs. And I was just stuck. There was nowhere for me to go.
And you had become the Grand Marshal.
Sounds like you have a uniquely dog-haunted life that you're leading.
I would agree with that. And I also want to disclaim to anyone who's furiously like typing an email or something. There are some dogs I like. When I get to know a dog, I'll come around. I just, in general, I'm a little wary. I'm on the wary side.
Well, I get that, especially if you've been bit, though, too.
Right.
Like, my partner, Her Majesty, she's been bit by dogs before. And so her first inclination isn't to just be like, oh, I want to hug you. It's always like, well, let me make sure this dog isn't on some Cujo shit.
Right. Yeah. My little sister was afraid of dogs growing up, and so we could never have a dog. And like, I still like have an immediate reaction when a dog comes in the room of being like, you know.
Frozen.
Hypervigilant. Like, of like, okay, is Kate here? Is she going to be scared by that dog?
It's the funny thing, too, though, is when I was a kid, I loved dogs. And I campaigned for a dog for 4 years
For president?
I mean, probably. But for Christmas, I wanted a dog.
Oh,
and the year they gave me a dog, I like brought out a chart. I had a pie, like a pie chart and a graph of how I was going to pay for it, how the chores would even out. And I finally got the dog, and now I'm like, no.
Oh, you did get the dog. So it wasn't like we could melt your heart by giving you a dog for Christmas this year, and you're suddenly like, I love all dogs.
That sounds like the plot of a Netflix movie.
Yes,
it probably exists.
Hallmark Channel, yeah. What is something you think is underrated?
Underrated. I think being single is underrated.
Hey-o.
Just we are living single.
Yes.
Ooh, in a 90s kind of world, I'm glad I got my girls. Sorry, I have to do that contractually.
Song game is on point.
Yeah, thank
I
you so
it.
Much. Yeah, so yeah, being single, underrated.
Yes, I think that so many people in my experience act as though I must be the saddest person ever who just sits at home hoping that someone will contact me. And
right.
It's just not. It's not my experience. I'm having a wonderful time, and I go out and do so much stuff. And I recently was in a pretty long-term relationship that I got out of, and it was wonderful. I just feel like there's this association with being single that is maybe you'll have fun for a little bit, but really you're just sad and hoping you'll find someone soon.
Yeah, I would imagine that is the case that people... Especially, do you have relatives who, like, pressure you about finding somebody?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
My parents have kind of washed their hands of that. They've given up. But all my other family kind of has this, any minute now, you're going to meet the right person for you. And you're just going to get married immediately. And it's going to be wonderful.
Right.
And I've been trying to steer the conversation away from that for quite a while now, but it still always happens, always comes up. When are you gonna settle down, Annie?
Yeah.
When are you gonna? Yeah. Well, maybe if this were a rom com, your meet cute would be someone's dog biting you.
Right.
That's true.
What is a myth? What is something people think is true you know to be false?
I think, kind of going off of the being single thing and relationships, that opposites attract. I don't think that is generally true. Sometimes true. But in my experience, you're looking for someone that shares similar interests that you can enjoy doing things with. And also, I just feel like there's this weird thing where people, a lot of times, not all the times, but they end up dating someone who's kind of a very similar reflection of themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I just don't think that opposites attract is an accurate thing most of the time.
Yeah, I think complementary traits attract.
Yeah.
Where if one person might be lacking, the other person is doing better in. But yeah, I don't think I've seen couples where you're like, y'all have nothing in common. And those don't end with like a wedding where I'm like, I'm so happy they're together.
Right.
It's usually like she's not good with money and he is, or she is, or whatever.
Right.
So they complete each other in that sense, but the opposites thing. But I guess when I was younger, I was definitely like a narcissistic, like I was basically trying to fuck myself.
Mm-hmm.
In another human form.
From some of your early girlfriends, pictures I've seen.
I was only dating half black, half Japanese women. And I was like verifying every time.
Yes.
Like hip hop.
I was trying to get to the bottom of this, of why we think this at all.
MC Scat Cat, Paula Abdul video.
I thought maybe it is media because it is more entertaining if it's two very different people on screen rather than two pretty similar people. Or maybe going back to that playground thing of... When you're picking on someone, that means you're really attracted to them or you're into them.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. That is one of those tropes that it's like, he secretly likes you. It's like, no, he's just a mean person who doesn't like me.
Right.
It just sounds like shitty advice if someone came up to you and was like, you know who you need to date? The opposite of you.
Right.
I'd be like, what? I would take like, what's wrong with, is something wrong with me?
Right.
Right.
Right. Everything about you is terrible.
Everything about you
else.
Is ugly and dark.
Right.
Right.
All right. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. And we're back. And the Avengers 4 trailer dropped at the end of last week. Thanos' plan appears to have worked because I'm about half as excited about this trailer as I would have been if it included all of the Avengers.
Wait, what?
Yeah, sorry.
I haven't seen the Avengers. Does something happen?
You haven't seen the first Avengers? Yeah, so there are these superheroes
yeah.
who like save New York from Alien
9/11. The Muppets?
Yeah, sort of like the Muppets, but they have... Miles, this is going to take too long.
Yeah, well, no, I didn't see the other one. I know like a lot of shit goes down, but
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
going to watch it this weekend. That way I'm completely not out of the loop because I pretend to know what all the Thanos memes are about.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, yeah, I get it. Yeah, Thanos for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He a lot of done shit like goes that. Down is a good summary for it.
Yes.
That's pretty accurate.
And you'll notice there are people missing
from the trailer.
From the trailer in this
okay,
one.
I won't read into that too much.
Yeah, well, because they're all going to be fine in
okay,
the
good.
End, I'm sure. But I feel like it's one of the more downbeat blockbuster trailers maybe ever released. Like, everything is just really sad, and there's, like, a minor key, like, playing over
Aww.
Now. Like, it's just... And I feel like all Avengers movies are dealing with the... cultural trauma of like 9/11 and just terrorist attacks in general, and so like that's why the first one ended with like New York being attacked in a very dramatic way that was sort of reminiscent about 9/11. I feel like this is a different part of that, but it's still like people coping with the aftermath of like a global tragedy is sort of the tone of the entire trailer. And then Ant-Man shows up and Paul Rudd's the shit and
brings you all back.
Brings it all back. I'm on board again. Paul Rudd's performance in Wet Hot American Summer is one of my favorite comedic performances of all time.
You just had to shoehorn that in there.
Yeah. Well, I don't. I always find him to be delightful.
Yeah. I guess I will give this Avengers thing a shot. I'm afraid something bad's going to happen, so I've been putting it off. Much like I can't watch Jason versus Freddy.
You know that
they're very similar films.
Yeah.
They're fictional characters.
I know. You know, I still haven't watched the Seinfeld finale.
Oh, right.
I have a lot of shows. I don't watch the last episode to make it not real for me.
Wow.
I used to do that with video games where I would get to the very end of the video game and then I wouldn't play the end.
Yeah, like Last of Us.
Over.
You know, I did that.
Oh,
God,
love that
I can't
game.
Have it be over. I can't have. Were you? Did you? So, should I watch the Avengers, the last one?
Yeah, I thought it was.
Yeah.
Pretty.
Oh, yeah.
Compelling viewing.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Good. I will note
it
that.
It is a lot of like backstory, though. I love when I called my mom afterwards to ask if she liked it. She was like, "Well, I didn't get a lot of what was going on, but I really liked it."
That's the thing is, like, it's a lot of exposition, and yet. Like, and it's a very long movie. It's almost 3 hours long. And I never for a second, like,
looked
down
away.
At my watch or
wow.
like, yeah, I was wrapped up the whole time. It's weird because it's a new type of movie. Like, I don't think it follows the standard plot of Hollywood. Like,
oh, like most Marvel films?
Right. Well, no, I think just.
Oh, just in. Oh,
just
in
like
general.
The, you know, how every movie plot is like there's the midpoint and the clock menace threat and all that shit. Like, I just feel like. This is more like a episode of a TV show
okay.
at this point.
All right.
A 2.5 hour long episode of a TV show. and let's talk about Chipotle, another fast cash.
Yeah, I mean, so there was an article I was reading in the Takeout today about how like fast food prices are going up. Because like recently I saw a commercial on McDonald's. It's like the $6 value meal. And for $6, you got like a sandwich or nuggets and a small fries and a, like a small drink for $6. I was like, back in my day,
right?
You could get fed with a $5 bill.
Right.
And I was a little bit, I was like, okay, something's going on. And then I saw this article and it makes sense. So they were pointing to the fact that like fast casual restaurants like Chipotle and Shake Shack and things like that have basically like raised our expectations as consumers for what like fast food should be. So like that knock-on effect is that like, places like McDonald's are trying to, you know, give you a little bit more for your money or give, you know, what are, I guess, seen as premium ingredients and things like that to raise its cachet. They were also pointing to the fact that in 2008, the median price of a fast food burger, $4.50. Today, $6.95. What? Okay. And back to the $5 bill argument. You know, in the last time you could get fed for a $5 bill at a fast food restaurant and get change back?
A year ago?
Oh, 2012.
Really?
It's been that long. since we've moved past.
To get like a whole meal. So you're saying like with the drink and the side?
Yeah. I think the $5 meal was years ago, but even just a good burger was 2012. And now chicken sandwiches are going up. But I guess that all has to do with Chipotle and also things as like more of these fast food places are using like actual ingredients rather than like fake nonsense chemicals, that the prices are going up because they have to still compete. And also things like, you know, wages, I guess.
Enough.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll hold tough, but I it's still at the end of the day, I think as people just become more savvy and are like, I don't think I can just be eating this all the time. That probably means like the clock is starting to run out a little bit on fast food as we know it in the sort of fake meal era.
I mean, certain things have become way, way cheaper, like electronics, like a really nice TV used to cost like a month's salary, and now you can get like a flat screen for nothing.
A week's salary.
it seems like food, because we're having higher and higher standards for what we put in our face hole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, what was your take on Chipotle, though, Annie, that you wanted to flame them with?
I hadn't been to Chipotle until a couple years ago, and it had been built up so much by my friends. So much. Yeah. And then I went, and I was kind of, you know, meh. Yeah, it's okay. And I did. The reason I eventually struck it from the list was because I'm not sure how people feel about Chipotle anymore.
People love it, but I don't.
They
I
still
mean,
love it?
I think, yeah, I think it was really big in places where you weren't really eating real Mexican food.
Right.
Like, people, it's like, oh, man, Chipotle, you get the whatever. But when I put that against any, like, taqueria or something or truck in L.A., I'm like, no, I'm good on Chipotle pretty much every time.
But still really love their chips. Their chips are good.
The one thing I need to eat is a quesarito.
Yeah, the quesarito.
Where they take
They
take the tortilla for the burrito and make they take two of those and make a quesadilla, like a big circular quesadilla, and then they use that to wrap your burrito in.
Oh, it makes a difference. Goodness. I would definitely give it a shot.
Oh, it does make a difference?
Yeah, it's great. Oh, you've never had that?
No, that's what I'm saying. Oh, yeah, I have, because that's the thing. I'm like, that does pique my interest as a scumbag food connoisseur.
Right. With queso and then extra cheese. No.
get it mojado style, just with queso all over the top.
And then instead of a meat, you just say sour cream and extra cheese.
What do you want in the middle? Sour cream, cheese, and...
Do you have any whole milk back there?
And half and half. Oh.
Yeah. So, Annie, one of your shows is Savor, and that is a food podcast. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so you... For the most part, is the show just you kind of talking shit about Chipotle?
I try to limit that to like only every other episode.
Okay.
But sometimes the week I just have to get it out of my system. It's more of like the science and history of Chipotle we might do. We try not to hate on any particular thing too much. But I'm someone who thinks about food way, 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 way too much probably. But I love food innovation. I love things like the quesarito. I love these funny human things that we've done to our food that are in some ways awful and in some ways just impressive, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think our fast food appetites have increasingly just become more like nihilistic, where it's just like, what can we do to just speed this process up? How can I indulge and then also accelerate my expiration date?
Right.
I do have a lot of friends who love Taco Bell, just love it. They have Taco Tuesdays. They always go to Taco Bell. And I can't figure out how Taco Bell has managed, at least with them, to be like this super cheap thing, but they also think is amazing.
Do you think it's maybe because it's cheap and completely delicious?
I love Taco Bell.
Yeah, we love Taco Bell over here.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, because it's not Mexican food. I had this conversation with somebody the other day. I'm like, they're like, dude, it's not. How can you even call that Mexican food? I'm like, I don't.
Right.
It's Taco Bell.
Yeah.
It's this other bizarro mutant food that I love to eat.
Right.
And even though the meat doesn't even taste like meat, I don't know why I like all my standards go out the window when it comes to Taco Bell.
Yeah.
It's like that X I can't quit.
Mm-hmm.
I hear Taco Bell's on the West Coast have, you can get beer at some of them now, and they're called Taco Bell Cantinas.
Cantina, yeah, yes. The fancy ones.
Yes.
Have you been to one?
I have not been to one, but I do plan on doing the thing because you have a party at Taco Bell now.
Yeah.
Oh, my
goodness. Where you call ahead and, like, they'll put decorations and stuff, and you can, like, reserve, like, the back half of a restaurant to throw a party for yourself.
Yeah. That's where I had my birthday party last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they make you stand on the table like a Chi-Chi's and they sing you happy, happy birthday.
I mean, that's what I'll do. I'll do a Zach Gang meetup at whatever, a really nice Taco Bell in LA, and it'll be like, come through.
So Ecuador is really trying to send a message to Julian Assange that it's over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is over.
Have not worked out between the two of them.
Well, we saw like a couple months ago, maybe it was last month. I don't know. Time has been. I'm experiencing severe time dilation with the news, but we heard that the Ecuadorian embassy was like, well, first of all, man, your cat is like not, you don't clean up after your cat. Your bathroom is a disaster. Please clean up your bathroom or you will have to leave. Please stop antagonizing foreign governments from our Wi-Fi. Just please, like they set ground rules. And I think he probably wasn't following them because now the president of Ecuador was basically saying, like Lenin Moreno in a radio interview, was just like, look, man, the road is clear, as he said, for Mr. Assange to take the decision to leave. And he said that they have written assurances from Britain that he will not be extradited to face the death penalty abroad. So it's sort of like, hey, look, the UK says, look, they're not going to extradite you if there's the death penalty on the table.
Right.
So can you go? And it's not sure what this is, what's going to happen, but the accounts of, like, we're hearing more about what his life is like. And I don't know if he's clearly struggling. Like, I want to laugh, but I don't know. I mean, if I was a guy who was cooped up in an embassy for 6 years, even though I'm facing a slew of interesting charges in many countries, it's like one person who has gone to interview him, a quote from him just says, it seems he doesn't wash properly, is a direct quote.
Wow.
Because he is the smelly kid. And that feels like a very insulting way. Like, that's more cutting than just saying, yo, the dude smells like fucking shit.
Right. Yeah.
Like something like, it seems he doesn't, it seems.
Yes.
There's something very,
very passive aggressive.
Yeah. And I love that.
One of his former aides said, Julian ate everything with his hands and he always wiped his fingers on his pants. I have never seen pants as greasy as his in my whole life.
So he's wearing like grease chaps.
Yeah.
Basically in the front.
I would have suspected that this was just Ecuador's way of being like, get the fuck out of here, man. Like,
we're
going to spread rumors about your hygiene if you don't just leave. But they've got like journalists who went and interviewed him. They have one of his closest aides just being like, yeah, man, I don't know what to tell you.
Eating everything with your hands seems like I don't know what's going on. Like, you're regressing in
some way. It seems like some Howard Hughes shit is going down. Like, he's, like,
on
to that place where, you know, he might as well be peeing in bottles and...
Well, I mean, when you hear the state of the bathroom he was in, he's probably somewhere in that.
Just saying, they switched the samples over and over again. So, Trump had a V Cool, V Chill, and V Legal Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was involved very little shitting of his pants and was mostly just, you know, him talking about casual things.
Casual things, yeah.
Yeah.
Like horrible witch hunts?
Yeah, how horrible the witch hunt.
Well, yeah, I mean, as we record this, we have yet to see the reports that Robert Mueller is supposed to be filing in regards to, one, a report on the extent of Michael Cohen's cooperation with the investigation, and also a report on how horribly Manafort violated his plea deal.
Mm.
So those are going to be, as we say, V-juicy pieces of documentation. And so, again, you know, I think President Trump, he's kept it really chill, despite, you know, we saw in the Michael Flynn report gave us a lot of details as to what's going on and possibly even into the heavily redacted part, which might have something to do with his plot to kidnap a Turkish cleric. I don't know. We don't know what that is, but that's what it could be. Now we're also kind of starting to see that people around him are starting to distance themselves a little bit from Trump, too. Like Giuliani came out and was sort of like, hey, we don't really have a plan or the will or the manpower to figure out how we're going to fight back against the Mueller report or any pending investigations coming in the new year. And then basically said it was a nightmare trying to get Trump to answer the questions because he was so distracted. But I mean, I don't know what that means.
He was distracted. Like, this is his livelihood, the future, like freedom of himself and all of his children is at stake, except for Tiffany. And he couldn't be even bothered to pay attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they were saying, like, Giuliani did an interview, or there's an article about him in The Atlantic. And when he's describing the process, Giuliani said, yeah, answering those questions was a nightmare. It took him about 3 weeks to do what normally just takes 2 days. Mm. And then they're saying, like, there was no point in trying to create a counter response because someone said, it's like Jesus take the wheel moment, but scarier because Trump can't follow anything.
Right.
So V chill.
And then Giuliani was like, wait a second. Just because I said it took him 3 weeks to do something, it took 2 days. That's because he's the president and he was interrupted so often. And that's why Mueller should end this now. And the media should be fair.
Sure, Jan.
So
that's, I mean, distorting my statement. It's like they just took your words and printed them.
Yeah. And then Rex Tillerson issued a statement.
Yeah, he came out with a scathing account of his time in the White House. And in the words of DMX, he basically said, you're whack, you're twisted, your girl's a hoe, you're broke, the kid ain't yours, and everybody know your own man think you're stupid, you be like, so I love my baby mother, I never let her go. But what he really meant to say was Trump was repeatedly giving him directives that were illegal and that Trump lacks any kind of discipline and is incapable of reading anything.
Yeah. I found the...
I don't know. This doesn't sound
doesn't
like
track,
Trump,
right?
This doesn't sound doesn't like my guy, Donnie.
Yeah, I would say, look, Flex Trillerson, as Christy Yamaguchi main aptly named
Trillerson.
Him. You know, just, you're salty. That's not our president. He's a V-good reader. He's a speed reader, actually.
Yes, he's the best reader.
He's like a really smart guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and everything's V-cool and V-legal.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess it's time to move on to the next person who's going to be coming out and talking about what a waking nightmare the inside of the White House is, and that's John Kelly, who it seems like is also leaving his position as the chief of staff.
Yeah, that's what they're reporting. Because I think we've always heard that John Kelly's going to resign.
Yeah.
Like, it's been a...
He's just in a long state of rumored to be leaving.
Yeah, like, I think the second...
his entire career.
Yeah, the second he took over from Reince Priebus, was that, what, like, 7 years ago?
Yeah.
I feel like it was 72 years ago,
right.
Actually.
Yeah. That, like, yeah, every week has been, like, he's having to walk back statements where he's like, this guy's a moron. He's like, I never said that.
Right.
And then not to mention John Kelly's numerous shitheaded statements he's given. But it seems like, yeah, maybe he's finally going to GTFO out of there. I guess maybe. I don't know if this is like a symptom of people understanding what's about to come or that people are just simultaneously reaching breaking points.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a particularly short stint as chief of staff. Like, chiefs of staff, like, turn over pretty quickly. So it might just be that he fucking hates his job, as has been rumored since he started.
Yeah.
Or it could be that they see the writing on the wall.
Yeah. That's why I feel like those statements, even from like Tillerson and like even Tucker Carlson to a certain extent, they're starting to be like, you know, I never really rode with him anyway.
Right.
They don't want to be even remotely attached or aligned with that, but it's too late for them.
As long as I have my Sean, nobody can say shit to me.
Where are my Spice Boys at?
I was talking about Hannity, but...
Oh.
Yeah. Hannity was just named the most powerful person in media.
Well, yeah.
Oh, that's great.
I mean, he might be the most powerful person in the history of the media because he gets to tell the president what to do at the end of the day every day.
Right. Or get their messaging together.
Right.
Ugh.
Well, one thing that John Kelly is certainly going to miss is freaking out about the border and blocking, trying to shut down the U.S.-Mexican border. And the caravan is a story that we were all kind of focused on in the run-up to the election, and it has become far less of a story in the aftermath of the midterm elections. And there is some recent reporting from BuzzFeed that suggests that there were some mysterious actors working on behalf of, like, kind of getting people pumped up and getting the numbers pumped up in the caravan.
Like it was manna from heaven, rhetorical right. manna from heaven for them to be like, oh, finally, okay, let's drum up all the xenophobia with this thing to get people to the polls. Now, there's a report, like I think BuzzFeed was reporting, that they found that there was a fake account that may have helped build momentum for the migrant caravan. So they're not saying that it actually, like, it began with this account, but there was an account that was using Facebook Messenger to communicate with other, like, political figures in Honduras to pretend to be Bartolo Fuentes, who's, like, one of the, like, main activists who, like, is in support of the caravan, but was basically posing as him to sort of get other people to, like, get involved with it. So it said before the account got started, not many people seemed to be joining, but only after the account kicked into gear did enthusiasm and participation spike. And the account also claimed falsely that the caravan was being led by a migrant rights organization called Pueblos Sin Fronteras. And yeah, once, like, I think the caravan began to swell, this group did get involved, but they weren't, like, leading it. So it was a very interesting thing. Like, they're saying that this thing may have sort of pushed it to the tipping point to get people moving. Now, of course, they're not saying that this had anything to do with, like, the socio-political forces at play.
Right. It's just that there's migrant caravans, like, multiple times a year, and this turned into the biggest one. And
right.
it got some help kind of gaining momentum and becoming the biggest one ever through this imposter Facebook account.
Well, it's funny, too, because when they reached out to Facebook, they're like, hey, can you tell us anything about it? They basically, as they say, refused to release information about the account, who may have set it up, or what country, Russia, it may have originated from.
Right.
But
it
who knows?
It rhymes with Prussia, but we're not going to tell you who in particular.
Yeah. Yeah, that timing was just, I mean, again, this is what happens with Facebook now when they're not upfront about everything.
Yeah.
You think they could make things go away if they could just begin owning up to the fact that they've been screwing up tremendously every day?
Yeah, but think about all the ways that the left cheats by, like, having all these huge storms come about because of climate change.
That's true.
And, like, they're all, you know, the climate change people. It's like the timing on that, pretty convenient.
That is true.
Yeah. So, all right, we're going to take another quick break and we'll be back. And we're back, and award season is upon us, guys. I know we all look forward to it year-round.
Every year. Because every award show that we've seen, it truly does actually recognize the real achievements in the respective industries.
And it just goes down in history. I mean, who can forget Crash, the greatest movie of the year, 2000 and whatever the fuck that was.
Fuck that movie.
So Grammys announced their nominees. And Grammys, I mean, when you just go back through history and look at the albums that were recognized and the songs that were recognized versus the songs that actually came out in the years the Grammys were trying to recognize, it's just a mess. The Grammys are always just a disaster. But they seem especially outdated this year because, I don't know.
Well, they did a good job. I mean, there are many more women of color, women in general, and people of color nominated. Because clearly after last year's disaster, I don't know. I mean, I don't know who's responsible for, like, finally recognizing these artists. But the nominations read much better than they did in years past, that's for sure.
Wait, what happened last year? Sorry.
There were,
Grammy,
like, barely any, like, there was a huge lack of representation for female artists, like, in the nominations.
Oh, right.
And it was like, and then remember the president of the Grammys was like, well, maybe, you know, the women need to, quote, step up.
Yeah.
Right after, it was like, really?
Well, no, I mean, Miles, clearly they heard his message and stepped up this year.
Jesus Christ,
and
people woke the fuck up.
And we got a Taylor Swift album that clearly deserves to be nominated. So that album, what was it called?
Taylor Swift?
Reputation.
Yeah,
Reputation.
There we go.
Reputation seems like it came out 13 months ago, but it came out in the last... Well, so this is the weird thing about the Grammys, is the window every year starts the previous September. So, like, September 2017 through October 2018 is the window that it recognizes. Because you you have to be super precise with the Grammys because, like we were saying, they are always exactly right and always recognize greatness perfectly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so things like the Stars Born soundtrack and Ariana Grande's album, Thank You Next song, were not recognized, but things like Taylor Swift's album were recognized.
Yeah, well, and you know, it's so funny because remember, everyone's like, how did Bodak Yellow not get really recognized last year? But Cardi B is now like, she got Album of the Year and Record of the Year and SZA, Janelle Monáe, Georgia Smith. There's a lot of good art. I'm like, this is a little bit, well, much better than last year in terms of like actual good music because I don't know. I could just be washed and old and I don't know who these young artists are anymore.
Yeah. Do we know if they adapted like the Recording Academy? Because I remember after one of the years of Oscars So White, they actually changed the rules for who became a member of the Motion Picture Academy.
And right.
That actually changed the next year's awards to recognize a much better crop of movies.
Well, I think the things that they changed were that they did add online voting to sort of diversify like the listener group. Uh-huh. And then also expanded like the number of nominees. So they went from like 5 to 8.
Okay.
For like for the big categories. So they're just kind of they're just making more room for people to be nominated.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I don't know. It's like all these award shows. I'm like, I don't know. I feel like the luster of the Grammys is it's not the same.
I've never thought it was very lustery.
Oh man, I used to as a child dream of having one of those.
A Grammy?
Yeah.
For best spoken word album?
For best country album.
There's still time.
I know. Hey, you know, I'm a late bloomer, so I'm holding out. I'm holding out. Do you do you have any artists that you saw on the nominee list that you're excited about? Any?
I'm kind of out of the loop in general with the. Even though my mom is obsessed with A Star Is Born, to the point that she keeps texting me about Bradley Cooper, and I'm not sure what to make of it. I even have a Christmas card that has my picture photoshopped together with Bradley Cooper. I can't wait to give it to her.
Wait, is it like you on stage as Lady Gaga and him as Jackson Maine next to you?
It's actually pretty great. I think it's a work of art. It's a press picture that they took together and the lighting is just really beautiful. And he's like leaning in to whisper something into her ear.
Mm.
And I photoshopped myself in there. And then at the bottom it says Annie and Brad Cooper. Because of course I call him Brad.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what's your mom's obsession exactly with Bradley Cooper? Like she's just enamored with him or she thinks he's a genius? Or?
So I had a really close like encounter with Bradley Cooper, but I wasn't aware of it. He was in our Atlanta office for several hours. And I just ignored him because I thought he was another like
bum podcaster.
The and when my mom found out, she couldn't let go of the idea that I could have met him and what could have been, even though I think he's married and way older than me. The chance passed me by. And literally, like once a week, she texted me something along the lines of, I can't believe you didn't really meet Bradley Cooper. Did you know he speaks French? He speaks French.
Oh, wow. Oh, so she ships y'all.
Mm.
Yeah.
She's like, ah, that was your meet cute. And maybe that's him being like, I noticed her from across the room. She didn't pay me any mind.
She's got this whole story in her head. I'm pretty convinced that somehow it's going to work out. I hope that she appreciates the humor of the Christmas card and it doesn't turn into like more fuel for the fire.
Right. She just calls you and is like, I just saw this picture of you and Brad.
What happened? What happened?
Right. Tell me everything.
Why didn't you tell me?
So are you guys dating or?
Yeah, you know, just for a little bit. I mean, I did a whole story on the back about how we met and how we've been trying to keep it secret. Nice. I'm not sure. I am interested to see whether she believes it or knows it's a joke right away, because I am kind of worried that a part of her will be like, it's finally happened. I knew her and Bradley could work this out.
Mm. So just going through the top categories, stop me anywhere you hear anything of note to you guys. But album of the year, we have Cardi B, Invasion of Privacy, something called By the Way I Forgive You by Brandi Carlile. I'm assuming that's a country album. Scorpion by Drake. Beer okay. Bongs and Bentleys by Post Malone.
Yep.
Dirty Computer by Janelle Monáe.
Yep.
Golden Hour by Kacey Musgraves. Is that a country album?
I'm just going to say yep to everything. Yep.
And Black Panther by Kendrick Lamar. That was something that was kind of amazing to me, is that Kendrick Lamar led all people in terms of nominations.
Right.
Just with the Black Panther soundtrack.
Well, he had like 8, right, or something, and 5 are from Black Panther?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the next was Drake with 7. So even though Drake put out a double album that was, you know.
Eh, it wasn't really a great album.
Yeah, but like he couldn't even keep up with Kendrick on a off year when he was just putting out a
when he's just curating soundtracks.
Yeah.
Well, he did. I mean, that soundtrack is really good, so credit to him.
Yeah, for sure.
Having the vision.
Mm-hmm.
But again, yeah, I mean, do they matter anymore? They're not reliable, especially when it comes to hip hop. So,
what do you think the record of the year is? That's the one that's more about like the recording, an individual song. We have I Like It, Cardi B, Bad Bunny, and J Balvin. The Joke by Brandi Carlile. This Is America, Childish Gambino. That's probably up there. God's Plan by Drake. Shallow by Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper.
Oh, yeah.
And super producer Anna Hosnier.
Mm-hmm.
All the Stars, Kendrick Lamar, SZA, rock star Post Malone, and something called The Middle by Zedd.
Man, I mean, Shallow.
Yeah.
Keep going. I mean, no, I think, I don't know. I like them all.
Right.
I would like Shallow. I Like It Like That to share the record of the year.
Mm.
I think that's fair.
Not God's Plan or This Is America?
Nah. Oh, This Is America was a great song. I think the video was like in tandem, the song with the video is what blew my mind.
Right.
The song is good. I mean, and there were people trying to point to the fact that maybe like it was kind of a ripoff of another song. But I mean, yeah, that had an effect.
Yeah.
And God's Drake, I'm just sort of like, look, we know you can write hooks, so you're like an ever-present on the charts. So like, do you really need a Grammy?
Right. So Song of the Year, which goes to the songwriters of the song, All the Stars is nominated. But apparently Kendrick Lamar songs are written by someone named Kendrick Duckworth.
Oh, God.
Weird. Whoa. I thought he wrote his own stuff.
Oh, no. That's a scandal.
I know.
You know, ghostwriters, man.
Yeah.
You know? Oh,
that
what if
it might be an alternate identity, though.
Oh.
Kendrick Duckworth?
No, that's his legal
that
name.
That is his real name.
I'm sorry. We're
just being
We're feigning
idiots.
Ignorance like more. Oh, God. That bit didn't land.
I was like, Duckworth?
Oh, no.
What?
Yeah.
But his name is Kendrick.
Do you think he would be as popular if his stage name was Kendrick Duckworth?
Why not? I feel like having like a really aggressively normal name as a rapper is like kind of dope.
But Duckworth is such a just aggressive name. Like Duckworth is like I still remember the Portland Trailblazers player
Kevin Duckworth. Right.
Yeah. Like from the late 80s just because that name is so aggressive. He didn't like barely played.
What's the etymology or the origin of that name, you think?
They probably
I feel like that's a British villain.
Right.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
Mr. Duckworth.
Duck salesman or somebody who sold something that was worth the equivalent of a duck.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, well, we've solved it.
Done. So as of right now, the Oscar hosting job is open.
Yeah, it was.
Dun, dun, dun.
Someone briefly took it.
Kevin Hart took it for a moment, refused to apologize for making what keeps being described as homophobic jokes, but it's really just like
homophobic
sentiments.
Yeah,
it's just like him being like, man, if my son was gay, I'd hit him. It's like, oh,
good
one.
That is a humor joke.
Yes, and he then was asked by the Academy to apologize to the LGBT community. He refused to do so while apologizing to the LGBTQ community. It's very confusing, but my guess what happened is it's kind of a tough job. People were like, oh, you're going to get negative attention, and he was still like, oh, it'll be good for me. And then the second he started getting negative attention, he was like regretting taking it. So then
right.
he just backed out.
I don't know. I mean, I know like that the president of GLAAD was like, we were just wanted this to be a teachable moment.
Right.
Not necessarily like tell him to fuck off. But he clearly was not interested in the option of staying host. All he had to do was just apologize.
Which he did.
I mean, kind of. He sort of said like, like, you know, he had a very salty Instagram video.
Yeah, very salty.
Where he was just like, I chose to pass on the apologies. Like, I've already addressed this stuff. People know who I am. And it's like, okay, then just apologize. Like, yeah. Then what's the issue here?
Yeah. And his Twitter account is full of, like, basically, back in 2011, he was wildly problematic, and then he broke through as, like, a mainstream comedian and suddenly cleaned up his act. But he did not delete all those old tweets.
So, yeah.
The collection is pretty rough, and, yeah, a backlash started a brewing, and he didn't know how to handle it. He did not handle it well.
It's so easy, men in the media who get caught fucking up, just apologize.
So we're back
and move on.
So we're back where we were earlier this week with no Oscar host and everybody being like, it's impossible. It's the hardest job in all of media. Who's going to do it? And then they're like, John Oliver, but he's too controversial. Samantha Bee, too controversial. Like, for who? For the president. That's
right.
It. Like, he's not watching your Oscars. Or he is, but he's, like, pretending he's not watching it.
Yeah. He's just like, I wonder if they're going to mention me. Please, Meryl, come for me.
Right.
Attack me. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Annie, who do you want to see? Who do you think should host?
Oh, I have a theory that this is a job no one wants. No one really wants anymore.
Yeah.
I certainly wouldn't want to do it.
Well, I was going to say we should pitch ourselves.
Right.
Oh, yes. All right. I'm on board with that.
I'd do it for the right price.
I'll do it for the bump in Instagram followers.
Yeah, okay. Mm,
that's all I'm focused on. I'm a very shallow millennial.
Has Hugh Jackman hosted it before?
Yeah.
He has. He did a whole dance routine.
Yeah, that's right. He did good. Bring him back.
I mean, but here's the thing. Again, it's sort of like what you're saying, Annie. It's like no one wants it because they want someone so big that it's not going to necessarily boost them much.
Right.
They just need someone big for the draw. Then you inevitably are torn down.
Yeah.
Because no one's going to like what you do.
It's like celebrity community service. You're taking one for the Hollywood community by doing it.
Yeah. Or unless you're like Neil Patrick Harris. Like Neil Patrick Harris, I think he benefited. Like there was actual benefit to him. Like it put him in the spotlight and people kind of liked him.
He should
do it
again.
But then people
were
like, it's bland.
Yeah, it was kind of bland. He should just do it again and get a better writing team.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe his writing team was good and like a bunch of good jokes got cut because it does seem like it's a pretty hard job, but
everyone also turns it down. Like a lot of people are like, no thanks.
All right.
Sorry.
Dream host for me, Dave Chappelle.
Ooh.
That would be I would watch like just for that.
Because it would be you'd be on pins and needles.
He doesn't give a fuck. Like he would say whatever he wanted to about anyone.
I think, you know, God, who could do it? Tiffany Haddish. I would watch that.
So they're saying the reason that she's not being considered is because she did the nominee announcements last year and mispronounced a couple people's names. It's like, who gives a shit?
Oh, fuck off.
Yeah, fuck off.
Yeah.
They're like, that has the Hollywood community seething.
And oh, guess
like,
what? What about when you gave fucking La La Land Best Picture?
Right.
You're not reeling from that?
Right.
You're reeling from this woman of color mispronouncing a couple names?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. What about fucking Adele Dasim?
Yeah. Yeah.
From
exactly.
Old John Travolta.
Adele Dasim.
That is still my
and
favorite.
And what was
moment.
The actual name? Natalie Portman, super producer. Adina Menzel. Yeah.
Adele Dasim.
He was just so high on whatever pain pills. Adina Menzel.
Well, you know,
Nassim.
I love that moment because you can see him process that he is fucking up as he's saying it,
right?
And then goes to like, all right, full steam ahead,
yes,
let's just get through this. And like, because he does it so like delicately, Adele Dasim.
he committed.
Yeah,
I am a big movie person, and when I was a kid, I used to love watching the Oscars, and now I look back and kind of shake my head at that. That seems so bizarre to me that like 6-year-old me would tune in for 3 hours, 3 to 4 hours.
Yeah.
I
liked
the award ceremony.
You don't watch the Oscars anymore?
No. I don't really. I'm not a good TV watcher person anymore. I do still love movies. Yeah, I guess I don't have a TV. Like, I don't have stations, so I just sort of gave up on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I think an Oscars party is the only way I watch the Oscars now.
Right.
Because, like, it's on passively. You do your little, you know, fill out your ballot, see who might win. And that's about as fun as it gets for me.
Yeah. Or like in a dark room by
yourself.
Yeah,
I'd be into that.
whatever.
I also remember one year I was really upset that Dances with Wolves won so many Oscars.
Yeah, well, that was fucking stupid.
I remember as a kid, I was like, yo, this is bullshit.
What was that? What year was that, Dances with Wolves?
1990. Came out in 90. So and I think it was 91.
A better movie. What was nominated that year? It won Best Actor for Kevin Costner, which that just, those two words should never go together.
Right.
Ooh, I'm such a
bitch.
Oh,
yeah. It went up against Awakenings, Ghost, Godfather 3, and Goodfellas for Best Picture.
Yeah. Definitely, in retrospect, Dances with Wolves is the first movie that comes up when people are like, classic movies from that year.
Oh, but no. Best Actor went to Jeremy Irons.
Oh,
for Reversal of Fortune.
Oh.
My mom was very happy about that. I remember, yo, as a kid, my mom loved Jeremy Irons so much.
Oh, these are nominations.
Yeah,
I'm
sorry. He was, well, yeah, but Kevin Costner won for Best Director.
Mm.
Yes. But like, yeah, I remember as a kid, I was rooting for Jeremy Irons because my mom had such a crush on him. I was like, I want Jeremy Irons to win everything.
This is the second time Jeremy Irons has come up in a podcast I've done today. He's
really?
He's having a moment.
I hope, you know, please come back, Jeremy.
Wait, where'd he go? Back.
I mean, you know, he's just not, his star is fading a little bit.
Yeah.
I need him to come right back. I think he's probably just doing theater or something. I mean, although, you know, he was in Assassin's Creed, so
right.
I think he's doing all right.
You know, something weird that happened to me the other day is I found a copy of the DVD of Ghost outside my door. I don't know where it came from. I've never seen Ghost, so I guess I'll watch it.
You've never seen Ghost? And you say you like movies?
I know. I have a weird
get off my
like,
train.
Section of my life where I missed a lot of media.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I want to know who left it at my door.
It was probably Sam.
Yeah. Who? Oh, is that Patrick Swayze?
Mm-hmm.
Is that his name?
Yeah.
I always thought that he was with Oprah. I mean, with Whoopi Goldberg in the movie because I didn't. I only saw trailer like bits and pieces as
right.
like when it first came out, and I completely misunderstood what the actual film was until I saw it. And I was like, oh. So he's a ghost.
Mm.
Huh.
Mm. Yeah. Huh.
Okay. Now the title makes sense.
Yeah. I thought it was just some weird title.
All right, Annie. Well, it has been a pleasure having you. Where can people find you?
Hopefully watching Ghost right now.
Yes. I've definitely been inspired by this whole thing to go watch Ghost.
The mystery DVD.
Yes. Yes, the mystery DVD. Thank you to whoever or whatever ghost left it there. You can find me on Stuff Mom Never Told You and on Saver, wherever you get your podcast, and on all those social media things attached to that. Pretty easy. I trust that internet people can find me.
There you go. And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
This is so funny because I'm actually very social media avoidant. And this, I feel like you get the time, like you said, dilates, and it's just so much. But I did really enjoy the mistake Rudy Giuliani made in his recent one where he created a URL and it took you to the landing page that said Donald J. Trump is a traitor to our country. And I also enjoyed all of the post-Avengers mashups with Thank You Next, where they was just, because there's four movies comparing, making a parody of the song, I guess, but with Avengers.
Oh, wow.
That's what? My two favorite things, Ariana Grande and Avengers.
I mean, it's an obvious match. I don't know why it hasn't happened earlier.
Yeah, the internet's slow sometimes with their creativity. Mm. Do better, internet.
Yeah, come on now. Thank you both so much for having me. This was such a fun conversation.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me and follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Please follow me because I'm about to hit 10,000 followers. You know, I'm probably going to hit it anyway, so maybe you don't need to follow me anymore. But two tweets that I like are one is from Carl Tart, and it just says, it's a phonetic quote from Melania. It says, Melania be like, and then he spells out phonetically, George W. Butch, why you don't give me no cat me? what it'd be saying, why not giving him candy? And another one comes from Karev at Sadiq CJN. And it says, why do we bash deadbeat dads for not being there for their kids, but never question if the child has bad vibes or if they're just unpleasant to be around?
Right.
You know?
Hey.
Why aren't we asking those tough questions?
What about the dads out there?
Yeah. Come on, children, do better.
Do better, try harder.
Do better.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. couple tweets I've been enjoying. Jen Statsky tweeted, maybe Laurel and Yanni can host the Oscars. And then please retweet. And Aparna Nancharla tweeted, I like my coffee like I like my pothole slowly erodes my infrastructure until I'm driving just a skeleton. And Reverend Scott tweeted, Angel, what you making? God, I call them peanuts, a tasty treat and a protective shell. They're not really a fruit or vegetable. Most people will love to eat them. Angel, that sounds innovative. God, others will eat them and die. Angel, is this a prank? And you can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what song are we going to ride out on?
Well, since you know Georgia Smith got a well-deserved nomination, I want to do a track from her album Lost and Found. This is On Your Own, because maybe that's a message to our president. You might be on your own, man. Who knows? But anyway, Georgia Smith, On Your Own. And let's start the week off right.
All right. Shout-outs to Daniel Goodman, our editor, to super producers Anna Hosnier and Nick Stump. And we will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. We'll talk to you then. Bye.
Bye. Hey, nothing left. Phone to grab a pizza by my bed. What you think when you said all that you did? You let me think that caused all of the shifts. Said you said I'm a problem, there's a lot of big talk. Yeah, I'm tired of being